welcome to Undercard Supercast. Before we get started, I would like to take a minute to just note the passing of Shane Del Rosario and to pass our condolences to all of his family and friends. Ian McCall, his roommate and best friend who found him. And Del Rosario, he was a fighter until the very, very end, gave this thing all it could handle, gave him hell. Rest easy, Shane. We'll see you on the other side. But as we need to do with these sorts of things do happen, let's try to push forward. Let's try to have a pretty decent show to take our minds, and if you're listening, your minds, off of the unfortunate circumstances that befell our small, close-knit community. So let's get cracking. Let's start dropping some F-bombs, and let's make fun of Ben. Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Garrett Jones. I am your host, founder, editor, and resident sassy black from the desk woman of the precinct of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, the man who prompted my dad to ask me when I went over to his house on Sunday, what's with the dude with the wall holes, Ben Cohn. His favorite color is paste white, Connor Dillon. And getting ready to fall through his floor and get stuck in the surface rug at any moment, Earl Montclair. How to make a Josh Hall. Take a brandy snifter, put in 5 ounces bourbon, 3 ounces scotch, and 1 porterhouse steak. The man who always enjoys Mark Hunt's scores, Nolan Howell. And lastly, he's got on his special tonsillitis toque, T.C. Engel. Dateline freaking everywhere, literally freaking everywhere, which is where fights occurred over the weekend. Tons and tons and tons of fights that happened over the weekend. Gents, in honor of the card we just witnessed in Australia, who takes your golden didgeridoo? And also, who is shamed into passing through airport security and customs with the golden poop? Ben?
There's got to be a joint golden
didgeridoo. You're going through customs with that.
Yeah. Mark Hunt, Antonio Silva put on probably what could be the fight of the year, probably the greatest heavyweight fight. Among the greatest heavyweight fighters.
Who has a cop car driving through their kitchen?
Ben's about to be arrested.
That's a cone.
Yeah, because I control the streets of New York, apparently. But Silva and Hunt get to both have that golden didgeridoo. We're going to cut that in half, Solomon style. And
you do live in Brooklyn, so is having glasses that actually have lenses in them a punishable offense?
I don't even know.
Continue.
What to answer that.
You live in a place with disgusting hipsters that I hope gets hit with a dirty bomb.
I don't live near them. They're in Williamsburg. They're a 25-minute drive away.
Do you ever get stopped and frisked?
No, I get stopped and kissed.
Oh boy.
I thought that was more in the Chelsea area of New York.
No, there was an Onion video about it. But whatever. Anyway.
All right, please go down radio.
Yeah, golden poop has – it's really hard. There were such great fights, but it's probably going to go to James Tahuna, who is basically went up against the most beatable version of Shogun he could have had, you know, timeline-wise. And he could have regained some of the momentum he lost when losing to Glover Teixeira. Probably could have stuck around, gotten into the top 10 with it, and it's just gone. There's just – his stand-up is his game. And he got – oh, wow, that was a sick knockout. He got fucked up. And, yeah, he's basically gone from any sort of title contention for good. And he's 32 years old, so – 33 years old, right? So that's who gets my golden poop.
Connor?
So I want to give my golden didgeridoo to someone a little out there, and this is going to be kind of a counter MMA culture thing, but I want to give it to Senior Phil Buzz Rothfield. If anyone hasn't heard, he's the guy who went out and commented that Australia should ban the UFC because it's a bloody disgrace and MMA is disgusting, et cetera, et cetera. The reason why I actually want to give him the golden didgeridoo is to actually remind people that there's still a lot of education that MMA has to put forth as a sport so that we don't have people like that continuing on in the future. And yeah, the guy's an asshole for writing the way he did, but, you know, shouting out names is not going to help the situation. You should actually sit down and be like, look, dude, they put forth a lot of effort in their training and in their lives and the fights themselves. If you can even deal with boxing, how can you not deal with MMA, you know? And I feel like I just want to call attention to that as an issue for MMA and MMA fans. So a little counterculture there. And I want to give my golden poop to and when I was watching, it was kind of like in the peripheral when I was watching this one, but I want to give it to Dylan Andrews for not punching properly, because that's why you hurt your shoulder, you dumbass.
Okay. Did you give the golden poop to Korean Zombie for the exact same punch?
No, because Korean Zombie is KZ. It's completely different.
Yeah, okay. Earl?
All right.
I'm going to give my golden didgeridoo to Steve Percival, because not only did he get the stoppage correct in the Justin Scoggins-Richie Vasilek fight, he was booed mercilessly by the crowd every time he stepped in the cage and his name was announced. And then he went out in the main event and reffed a picture-perfect fight with Mark Hunt and Antonio Silva. So to go in there and just, you know, take over that and ref the fight the way he did and not stop that fight, everything, he gets my golden didgeridoo. My golden poop, as sad as it makes me have to say, it has to go to Pat Barry, because goddamn, dude, if there was ever a winnable stand-up fight for you, like this side of Tim Haig, that he also blew that one too, but man, and he got crushed hard, just Donkey Konged him. So Pat Barry gets my golden poop, as sad as it makes me to say it.
Joshua.
Golden didgeridoo, I mean, you can't give it to anybody but a tie between Mark Hunt and Bigfoot. I mean, that fight was something special to watch. You got a battle of, you know, pretty much human chess for 3 rounds, and then 2 rounds of flat-out heart. But I actually want to take a little bit of issue with something that Earl said here about the refereeing in the main event, because in the 5th round, the one time the referee stepped in, he interjected himself in the fight in a way that could have completely changed the end of it. You had a severely, severely rocked Bigfoot Silva, and he steps in to check the cut literally while Hunt was in the middle of throwing an elbow. Like, he steps in between them. He's lucky that Hunt didn't hit him with the elbow in the process. Stops it while he's severely rocked, gives him 15 to 20 seconds to recover while they check the cut, and then he clearly had his feet back underneath him once that happened. A referee has got to know when to step in and check a cut, and when a fighter is rocked, they can't get the benefit of the fight being stopped there and that advantage given back. It just can't happen.
It was well intended, but you need to be aware of your surroundings.
It was completely.
You can't just run in when you see red like a matador bull.
Well, and the other thing too is that, I mean, in all fairness, though, Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva were rocked for the entire last 2.5 rounds of that fight. So in that one instance, I mean, I completely see both sides of it.
But
it's not as if they weren't walking around like enormous versions of Akiyama and Lieben for the last 12 minutes of that fight.
The referee is not supposed to step in until they reach a neutral position. And with Bigfoot up against the cage and Hunt throwing bombs, that's not a neutral position by any means. That's a serious advantage position for Hunt and where he scores a lot of his knockouts.
How did you guys even pay attention to the dang reffing? I was just excited by the damn fight and it went the whole way. Shit.
Oh, man, the fight was amazing. The fight was wonderful. Life,
that's why.
I just don't like having that interjection from the referee in that spot. I mean, it was well-intentioned, but it was poorly timed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I should have given my golden didgeridoo to a guy who was recycling John McCain's opinion circa 1999.
Yeah, and golden poop, though, for me, it goes to the man that Connor gave the didgeridoo to earlier, Mr. Buzz Rothfield. Not because he thinks that the sport is too violent, because that's a fine opinion to hold. If you think that it's too brutal to watch, don't watch it. But I take severe issue with him saying a couple of things. One, he asks why aren't the fighters tested for bloodborne illnesses. it just takes a simple, tiny 3 minutes of research to find that they are, and that you don't have anyone with a bloodborne illness fighting in the UFC. So when somebody throws something like that out there, it's irresponsible, and it's not journalism. That's just terrible. And especially him saying that he takes extra offense at women being allowed to do it.
He said it was a disgrace. And I checked his Twitter timeline. He said, these women look scary. That's like,
I mean, dude, just catch up.
Yeah, because when I see Julie Kedzie, I think scary.
Yeah,
really. No,
I mean, the guy's opinions are not just behind the times. They're just ignorant and they're irresponsible. And it's hilarious that a Fox-owned outlet is where he's voicing them. Because
I tweeted that the upset of the weekend today was not Michigan State. It was over Ohio State. It was the most misguided, pearl-clutching article about MMA written, and it was not by Thomas Rios. That article was disgusting. My golden didgeridoo, I'm going to go off the board a little bit here. Obviously, everyone is on the hunt and Bigfoot, as they should be. But there, it was also a gigantic week for boxing. I'm going to give it to Arislandi Lara, who disposed of the once kingpin at 154, Austin Trout, with relative ease. It wasn't a dynamite bout by any means, but Trout should never be out. He outclassed Trout better than Canelo did. So
Canelo didn't. So
Canelo didn't. Yeah, Trout won that fight.
Listen, Condit beat Diaz, and furthermore,
we know.
So it is Lara now making a name for himself at 154, and now getting himself ready for some bigger fights. And my golden poop are the judges in the Anthony Porosh and Ryan Bader fight. How you have I'm not saying this to be BB 10-8 blah blah blah. I had 30-23. I had the first two at 10-8. And I try to be as like, listen, because I realize if I say anything about 10-8 rounds, I'm immediately going to be laughed off, which is whatever. And then he had him on the canvas pounding his head for 4:56 of 5 minutes. It was in the third round I had 10-7. At the very least, you cannot give that fight a 30-27. The refs are saying that some of those rounds were as close as Mark Hunt and Antonio Silva. No. Neither round was deserving of a 9. Anthony Porosh did not earn a 9 in anything. He barely earned an 8 in a couple. So I don't know how you get 30, one judge, had a touch of the vapors and gave one round a 10-8. But that was, to me, it's just, why even have 10-8 rounds if you're not going to use them in a blatantly one-sided 10-8, maybe 10-7 fight such as that? Nolan?
My golden didgeridoo, of course, goes to the mythical Mark Hunt and his dance partner Bigfoot Silva. Absolute classic, especially for me as like Mark Hunt bandwagon fan number one. I carry that thing on my back pretty much, so it was very emotional to watch. It was awesome. No words can really describe it. An all-time classic. And yeah, go rewatch it, and if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's great. Golden poop. There's a lot of golden poops to be handed out this weekend. I'm going to go Invicta. Partly not on their own fault because of Carla Esparza getting her bout scrapped due to Claudia. Her bout getting scrapped because of that. But also because they cannot handle streaming an event ever. It's unprofessional. You should know how to do it by now. And if you want to be the face of women's MMA and give them a legitimate name, you need to get stuff like that right. And I do appreciate the platform and all that, but you got to get that corrected. You're losing money, especially considering you're on pay-per-view on some outlets. You're not going to be in a good situation, especially all these times you have screwed up.
They're literally losing money because people are getting refunded.
Yeah.
I mean, you're losing money in the long term with people not wanting to do this, and you're also losing money in the now.
Golden Didgeridoo is going to go to my personal knockout of the year for Alex Garcia. That punch was incredible. I've always loved uppercuts, and that was just vicious. He saw a wall, carried himself low, trying to shoot from time to time, and just timed it perfectly. It was vicious, and it was awesome. And unfortunately, like, don't get me wrong, the Shogun knockout, the Bader beating, and the Hunt solo fight were all incredible, but unfortunately, because of those ones, Alex Garcia isn't really getting talked about very much. The guy deserves to be talked about. It was an awesome performance, and I really look forward to seeing him again. As far as Golden Poop goes, pretty much everything was covered. I thought I was going to be clever and get the Ryan Bader judges, but Luke beat me to that.
Boom.
I'm just going to...
Straight Josh Hald.
Just going to stick with that one. It's not only stupid, it's all borderline embarrassing for the sport when the judges can't even follow the rules that are set in place for them. Those were the definition of 10-8 rounds.
What did you think about the uppercut that bacteria gave your tonsils?
Suck dick.
Dateline Brisbane, Australia. We're going to stay here, and as is the case with close fights, I ask you gents to get out your scoring notebook that you no doubt keep and give me your score for the main event of Hunt and Bigfoot. Benjamin?
I actually scored that 47-47. I gave it 10-9 the first two rounds for Bigfoot, 10-8 for the third round for Hunt, 10-9 for Bigfoot, and 10-9 for Hunt.
Connor?
I gave the first two to Bigfoot, and I gave the last three to Hunt.
48-47? Or did you have a 10-8 in there?
I had a 48-47 Hunt.
Earl?
I had 48-47 Bigfoot.
Josh?
I had a 47-47 draw, but my 10-8 was the fifth.
Nolan?
I had it upon first scoring, live scoring, I had it 48-47 Bigfoot. After I had it a draw of 47-47.
Taylor?
I had the same as Josh, 47-47 with a 10-8 fifth.
I had it 47-46 for Mark Hunt. Now, Dateline Los Dallas, Texvada, a combination of the host cities for UFC 170 and 171, where many much moosin, plus one to anybody who gets that reference, of new fights have been added over the weekend. The biggest of them include Rashad Evans and Dan Cormier, Rory McDonald and Damian Maya, Rafael Dos Anjos and Rustam Khabibov, Thiago Silva and Ovin St. Preux, and Jake Shields and Hector Lombard. Ben, out of the five fights mentioned there, which one interests you the most?
Maya McDonald, but I'm pretty sure that one was obvious.
One of those two might actually fall asleep in the middle of the fight.
No, but I'm really looking forward to Maya.
Their last performances were uninspiring, is what I'm saying, Ben.
Yeah, I got it. It's not Maya's fault he fought Jake Shields. All right? Jake Shields could make anybody except for Jake Ellenberger, apparently, look uninspired. All right? But...
He just made Hendo look like shit.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. The guy just has a phenomenal talent for sucking the life out of every fighter he fights. It's ridiculous.
In an Egger suit. Connor, which fight are you looking forward to?
Mine is kind of a toss-up between Rashad Evans and Daniel Cormier and Rustam Khabibov and Rafael Dos Anjos. Those two fights both interest me a lot, and I can't remember if they're both for 171 or not, but I'm really pumped that Evans-Cormier is in Dallas.
RDA and Evans and Cormier and Dos Anjos Khabibov are both in Las Vegas.
Oh, really? Oh.
What?
It's okay, title fight.
Don't worry. We get the following fights in Pennsylvania.
Never.
No, see, he was going to be quiet, Connor.
Oh, subtle Connor. You and literal Ben would make the worst comedy team ever.
That's what you think.
Or the best.
Probably the best, actually.
I know, we'd be like the South Park creators.
Because
like
it's not just, he's not just subtle Connor, he's subtle racist Connor.
Subtle, like Martin over Lewis. The line, racist.
The only time he's not subtle is when he's being racist.
Like Abbott Costello, exactly. I wanted to punch you both in the face. Earl, what fight is, what tickles your fancy the most?
What typically tickles my fancy is anything Rafael Dos Anjos fights. I think he's really exciting to watch. I really, you know, the way he's stepped up his Muay Thai game is great, and to go take on Hobby Love, that's gonna be awesome, man. Those two are a couple of buzz saws, so it's gonna be great.
It's gonna be amazing balls.
Josh,
Rashad Cormier, that fight's just all kinds of wonderful. It's going to be the perfect test to see what Cormier is going to look like at 205. And we'll see if Rashad can duplicate the amazing performance he had in his last fight. I'm so excited for that.
I'm a little different than you guys. I'm really looking forward to Jake Shields and Hector Lombard because I want to see how Hector can adjust his style against someone that is extremely different than anyone he's faced in his last few fights. I'm not counting Paul Harris just because he knows a move up there with Shields. Shields just like totally is nothing like Jake Shields. Not nothing. He has infinitely more strength and power. Shields, Okami's game is mostly strength-based. Shields is more angles and leverage. Jake Shields is not stronger than anybody at welterweight. But it's going to be interesting to see how Lombard does against that style. And also, I'm a gigantic fan of seeing Jake Shields punched in the face. So really, this works for me on a number of levels.
Are you like the biggest Jake Ellenberger fan ever?
I admire the man's work for what he did. I admire his contributions that he's made in that respect.
I'm going with the Evans-Cormier fight as well. I'm looking forward to see Rashad Evans end this hype train. And light heavyweight needs new talent, but the idea of Dan Cormier being a legit light heavyweight off beating Roy freaking Nelson pisses me off.
Well, if we're going to be talking about vortexes of excitement, we do have to include Cormier because, I mean – He's been nothing but Zquil ever since he showed up in the octagon.
I disagree with that, but okay.
What fight was would you think was good?
I don't think it was. I don't think he's necessarily super exciting. I don't think he's.
I mean, he's
that,
not Jake Shields. Guys, come on.
Yeah, I don't think he's that boring at all.
Well, we haven't seen anything we haven't seen anything since he fought Bigfoot and Barnett, which were two extremely entertaining heavyweight fights.
Well, yeah, okay, so I see where you're going with that. But he fought also, but the style of the guys he fought, I think watching him beat the crap out of Roy Nelson on the feet was hilarious.
Look at what, okay, just take a look at the direct comparison, right? Take a look at the way he fought Frank Mir versus the way Josh Barnett came in and fought Frank Mir. Essentially, Barnett had him in the same position that Cormier had him in.
Barnett's a lot bigger than Cormier.
But Dana didn't do jack shit with that position for 15 minutes.
Cormier has a ton more power, though.
I don't know.
When he's not shattering his hands like glass.
Yeah, I don't think that he has that much more power than Barnett at all.
Regardless.
Than Barnett?
I don't think so. Barnett can hurt you.
Barnett is trained by Bang Ludwig, you guys. He's terrible.
He's worst.
He is?
All right, but yeah, I think Rashad's going to destroy Cormier. I think he'll be too fast. His striking will be on point. And if it's Rashad that showed up in the Chael Sonnen fight, if I were Dan Cormier, I'd be a little scared.
Ben, I was thinking your boy could use some work with Bang, seeing as how he couldn't put away Krokop's grandfather after pounding his head into the cage for 15 minutes. Some Bang Muay Thai wouldn't be the worst thing on the planet for Ryan Bader. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You do realize he was ground and pounding him the whole time, right?
Yes, and I also realized that Anthony Parosh is 104 years old and Bader couldn't put it. Bader couldn't
do
something.
It took Krokop two rounds to finish him.
Bader couldn't do in 15 minutes what Ryan Jimmo did in 7 seconds. Let that sink in.
2010 Krokop, two rounds to finish him.
Exactly.
Ryan Bader doesn't have the finishing power of 2010 Krokop.
Would you want to hurt your own grandfather?
What, are you out of your mind? Most heavyweights don't have the power of 2010 Grokov.
That's funny.
I think you are forgetting how awful Mirko was in 2010.
That doesn't mean he wasn't powerful.
Yeah. And there's your Ben Cohn take of the week.
You're saying, wait, so the last thing that a fighter loses is power. You really want to tell me Mirko Krokop was not powerful in 2010? He wasn't able to knock people out?
How many people did he knock out in the UFC?
Oh, this is going to be a fun wiki.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go to wiki for that, actually.
Mustafa Alturk and Eddie Sanchez.
Did he fight him?
Did he fight Eddie Sanchez?
He's finished Eddie Sanchez. He submitted
Eddie Sanchez was his first fight in the UFC.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he fought Eddie. Wait.
In 2010, Mirko Krokop TKO'd Anthony Parash, and that's it. He had one TKO in 2010, Ben. No seconds.
He was so powerful in 2010, no one else would fight him.
He beat Eddie Sanchez
in 2009.
He lost to Gonzaga Congo, then he was out of the UFC.
Ben, 2010, can you read a calendar?
Yeah, I know. I'm going through his whole list. He submitted Pat Barry and lost and beat Anthony Parash, and then he lost the rest of his 2010.
He got knocked out by Brendan Schaub, man. Come on.
Yeah, like comically knocked out.
That was in 2011.
He had to resort to jiu-jitsu to beat Pat Barry.
That's hilarious.
Which is not the worst strategy of all time, but like seriously, Brendan Schaub folded him up like Andy dropping Woody on the canvas. Like, dude, he just like fell down like a little doll. Like,
didn't Barry break both his hand and his right foot?
And still managed to knock him down twice.
Didn't say he was good. I just say he still had power.
So by your logic, Chad Mendez does not have power, but Mirko Krokop in 2010 does.
What the fuck are you doing? How does it even fucking make sense? There's never said that Chad Mendez doesn't have power. You want to talk about me saying that he hasn't really fine, whatever. You're right after he hasn't faced anybody who could really test his striking. You want to call it fine, call that out. I never once said he never has power. In fact,
Mendez
one of the strongest featherweights in the entire division.
Mendez does need someone to test him. Mendez needs a strong test like Anthony Parash on 3 days' notice.
I bet you Mendez finishes Parash before Bader does.
It's amazing how much you guys just dash Bader for no fucking reason.
Dude, he was getting hit by Anthony Parash.
Ben, there's a very specific reason.
What?
Ben, there's a very real reason why we bash Ryan Bader. Has nothing to do with how he couldn't finish off Parash's osteoporosis.
Yes, I know why. Pisses me off. Okay.
Just because he couldn't beat the calcium off his bones.
On a bright side, Parash probably scored a one-a-day sponsorship after that. Nice multi-fight.
In reality, that fight should definitely have been stopped.
Football through a tire on football commercials.
But wait, 1 second. Was the guy who's ref that fight the same guy who ref the Bigfoot Hunt fight? Because that fight.
I mean, look.
Whoever was refing that fight.
I'm actually here right now. Hang on.
That fight should have been stopped, though, for real. Like multiple times.
You can get.
Hey Ben, you want to hear?
The referee of Bader Parash was a gentleman by the name of John Sharp.
Did he ref any other fights on the card?
Jocko Santos and Mizugaki fan, and Hua Tahuna.
Hey Ben, since 2011, you want to know who has more knockouts, Parash or Bader? I think the answer will surprise you.
Vin's gonna.
Hey, wait. Who, since 2010,
two, right? And it's not Ryan Bader.
Since 2010, who has more knockouts in the UFC? Ryan Bader or Anthony Parash?
I don't know. Tell us, Luke.
Why, the answer is Anthony Parash, friends. Bader has one knockout since February 21st of 2010.
Jason Brill is correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Keith Jardine and Jason Bills were his last two. And, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Did he fight Matt Shushenko?
Yeah, he submitted him. He knocked him down and then submitted him. 50 seconds.
Via the Tito Ortiz special.
Dude, Bader's record against 40-plus fighters is spotless. He really takes the boots.
I bet you guys he could stop Randy Couture.
Oh, well, easy.
Yeah, come on now.
Wow, man. Rampage, Machida, Parash, Rogerio.
Did Randy ever replace the tooth that Machida knocked out?
I don't know. I'm
not going to say the praises of any man who fought someone named Dickie Chavez.
What?
Where were we? Before this veered off course.
I was supposed to say something. I don't even remember what the options were.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably go with RDA versus Khabibov. I think it's just going to be a really fun fight. I'd like to see Damian Maia, Rory Mac be a fun fight, but it's just going to be the shittiest fight ever, so.
Ever since someone deprogrammed whatever was in Rory's brain.
That was Condit.
Yeah.
I think McDonald might actually put him parallel to the canvas, too.
It was either Condit or it was the upscale shopping trips with Mike Ricci to the boutiques. One of the two.
Or he took a striking course with Ryan Bader.
The killer Che Mills scared it out of him.
We have fun. And that will do it for today. We will be back Wednesday to talk UFC on Fox predictions. Also, any more information about Del Rosario if it comes out. And looking forward to the week.
Do we want to do winner of Bigfoot and Hunt? Who they get next?
You know what? We could do that. Thank you for reminding me, Earl. Winner of what's next for Hunt or Bigfoot? Where would you like to see them go? I personally, I'll make mine quick. I don't want to see them rematch. That's one of those Shogun Hendo things where you hope, a rising tide lifts all boats. And they both get elevated because I really do not need to see them do that again for five more rounds for my own sanity. It's one of those things where it was a great fight. It'll live on in eternity. Maybe sometime down the road when it has higher stakes, they can do it again. But this doesn't need to be done again right away.
No, definitely not. Definitely not need to be done right away.
Hey Ben, he wasn't done talking.
I am now.
Okay. Gimme.
I agree with Taylor though.
Ben's so depressed he can't even laugh.
We should give a shout out to somebody.
Gimme.
Ben, who do you want him to fight?
Who do I want? Hunt or Bigfoot to fight?
Both.
The winner.
Man.
You see, Ben, nobody won.
I'm trying to think of who's not booked.
Majority draw. 47, two cards. There wasn't a winner.
Hunt actually got the one card, so he won.
We're all winners.
Hey, guys, I'll go. I got a couple written down here.
Thank you.
I would like to see Bigfoot. I would like to see Bigfoot fight the winner of Overeem and Mir.
Isn't Bigfoot doing Brazil tough?
Yeah.
Maybe. But I would like to see Hunt
against Hoy, but that might not be.
I would like to see Hunt fight the loser of the Travis Brown and Josh Barnett fight because I really want him to kick the bejesus out of Travis Brown.
That could very well happen, especially if Brown acts a fool again.
Mm-hmm.
Connor?
Yeah, that was actually pretty much right along the lines of what I was going to say. Hunt, I want to see him against the loser of the Brown-Barnett fight, and I wanted to see Bigfoot against the winner of the Overeem-Mir fight. That was probably the only difference.
Overeem again?
Well, because, I mean, I just want to see Overeem either get demolished again or Bigfoot get demolished again. But
even though I could watch him knocking out over him every single day of my life and laugh like a child on Christmas morning.
It was so frightening. But, like, I mean, if Frank Mir wins, then, hey, you've kind of got a new matchup. If Overeem wins, it's a revenge shot, you know?
I have the picture of your Herb Dean trying to restrain Bigfoot.
Oh, God, dude, that's just frightening.
That's the wallpaper on like, my computer.
In that picture, it looks like Bigfoot was wearing Herb Dean and a baby Bjorn. Like, it...
that's funny.
Yeah. Ben, you have a POV yet?
Yeah, I would actually put Hunt against the winner of Overeem Mir.
Dude, that's such a good call.
You get, let's say Overeem wins. Let's say if Overeem wins, you got the K1 champion versus K1 champion angle, two strikers. And if Mir wins, you got a good matchup. Both of them could use the win. If Mir wins that fight, he's right back up there to make more money for them. And if Hunt wins, he's got to win over a former champion, yada, yada, yada. With Bigfoot, I mean, Travis Brown, Barnett, but I actually want to go a different route. I want to see him fight Miocic if he wins his fight against, I know he's scheduled, I don't remember Gonzaga. Who?
Gonzaga.
Yeah, so that fight would actually be really good, too, because if Gonzaga wins also, you got Gonzaga on a roll, you got two good jiu-jitsu guys with powerful striking, pretty much guaranteed a good fight there. And if Miocic wins, he would really need to step up in competition, and a win over Bigfoot would be huge, and he's immediately a title contender at that point, basically. And if Bigfoot wins, you know, Miocic was not going to make it anyway, and Bigfoot's right back in there again. So that's the fight I'd want to see, preferably Miocic-Bigfoot.
Josh?
Okay, I want to see – it depends on who wins the Mir-Overeem fight. If Mir wins that, then I want to see Hunt fight Overeem and Bigfoot fight Mir. If it goes the other way, then I don't think you want to see Overeem and Bigfoot rematching quite yet.
You're wrong.
So, I don't know. I really want to see Bigfoot Frank Mir at some point. I just think that's a good matchup. And I kind of want to see Hunt fight Brendan Schaub just because that would be
amazing. Oh, my God. You're such an asshole.
He's coming off a win. He looked good.
What is
good.
Wrong
so
with
it's
you? Do you
want to
see the first death in the octagon?
I'd rather see Mark Hunt at Metamorphosis.
I mean, I just think that Mark Hunt
he'd actually
would,
do something.
He would do the he would be doing God's work thing. For us.
He would do the butt flop thing.
That would be unbelievable. Nolan?
Yeah.
I want Mark Hunt to fight in my living room. We can share popcorn and watch Pride DVDs.
Oh, I want Mark Hunt to use one of my wrestling buddies and do the atomic butt drop on him. You got Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan, bro?
I had Ultimate Warrior as a kid.
Yeah, same.
Nolan has Fandango.
I had a Sting one. It was very annoying to hear him every single night. It's not very fun. Anyway, really threw me off. I'd like to see another mean matchup as well, and I'd like to see Hunt versus Roy Nelson just to dispose of all that silly talk. Nelson's a fringe top 10 guy, and it's a relatively safe fight for him to boost his value, considering there's going to be lots of losses above him. Mir, I believe Brown's still ranked above him.
Yeah.
Rankings.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, I want Hunt versus Cain Velasquez in a K-1 rules match. That said, Bigfoot, I'd like to see Mir or Stipe Miocic, Gonzaga. One of those two or Mir, because it'd be fun to see Mir get knocked out. Every time Frank Mir gets knocked out, it's funny, especially when he has a nice long haircut going and gets all poofy and bobby and like does this little Bambi like thing is pretty awesome.
Bambi on. Oh my god.
I'd like to see Hunt fight Travis Brown when he loses to Josh Barnett. I just feel like that's a really fun matchup that's winnable for Hunt again, which is above all things key. And for Bigfoot, I'm not sure. Some sick part of me would like to see him fight Roy Nelson just to see Roy Nelson get destroyed again. But if not that, then probably Stipe Miocic.
Okay, and before we go for reals this time, you guys, shout out, Taylor?
Yeah, shout out to Andy Anderson. Had his first amateur fight on Saturday night. I think it was Friday or Saturday. I can't remember.
It was Saturday.
Saturday? Yeah.
Friday.
According to him, he fought a great fight. Said he was dominating, standing and on the ground, and just got caught in the last 10 seconds, which obviously it sucks. But
he said he got clipped at the end of the second, never really fully recovered.
Oh, at the end of the second? Oh, yeah, I thought it was the third.
That's when he got clipped. But he said in the third round he wasn't all there, and then
yeah,
he ended up getting finished with like 10 seconds to go.
Shout out to him for doing something.
Andersonen.
Shout out to him for doing something that none of us have. Probably none of us ever will. Takes a lot of balls, and I'm proud of the guy.
Attaboy, Andy. It's only the first one. Get it back, homie. Do it for Western PA.